is to bring, and that is why I sing all my joy with you I'll share. I plan to take a trip in that good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh yes, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. And I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh yes, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. And I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh, yes, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. And I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. And if you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. And if too much fault you find, you will sure be left behind while I go sailing through the air. Oh yes, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh yes, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Come on and sing it. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh yes, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. And I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing all my joy with you I'll share. 'Cause I plan to take a trip in that good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Come on and sing it. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh yes, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world. We gotta sing that second verse here. Oh, and I can scarcely wait.
I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship. I'm going far beyond the sky. I'm telling you, that's gonna be a day. That's going to be a day, and I don't want you to miss it. If I'm accused of anything, it is of making too much out of the rapture, the pre-tribulation rapture, that the rapture will occur before the 7 years of the great tribulation. Well, I can't help it. It's in the Bible, and I am convinced it's in the Bible, and I just can't stand not to warn you and beg you, I mean beg you, to get ready for the rapture. I want you to go with Jesus. I don't want to leave you here. I don't want the worst enemy I got. If there's somebody out there that hates me, I don't hate you. I want you to go in that rapture. Because what you miss if you don't go in that rapture is too awesome to even consider. And if I'm wrong and you're right, what have you lost by being ready any moment? What have you lost by being ready right now before the 7-year tribulation period begins? If I was wrong, what would be wrong with getting you ready early? If I'm going somewhere special, I get ready early. I pack a little early. I dress a little early. I want to leave a little early. And I want to go in that rapture as early as I can go. I'd go today if I could go. I mean, that's just how excited I am about the Lord's coming and that glorious, wonderful day. And I want you to be ready. I want you, above all things, to be ready for that glorious hour. God bless you today. This is going to be a great broadcast. We're going to have a wonderful time. I want you right in the middle, just absolutely having a good time with me. I want you to enjoy every minute of it. I want you to get in the middle, and let's learn what the Bible says. Now, we're going to talk today about unrestrained wickedness. Unrestrained wickedness. Now, think about it. Our world is wicked already. And think about how much wickedness we're dealing with. Think about everything that's happening, the killing of unborn babies. Think about all these things. And think about the day and hour when all of that's unrestrained. I mean, they can come in and kill your baby, and nobody will do anything about it. I mean, every kind of wickedness you can imagine will be unrestrained. There will be nothing to stop it. There will be no effective police. There will be no effective government agencies. Nothing but the Antichrist ruling this world. Now, that is going to happen. If you believe the book of Revelation, if you don't, you can't be saved if you don't believe the whole Bible. You can't be saved and not believe the Bible. The Bible is infallible. It's the Word of God. It's absolutely true. And so you got to believe the Bible. So let's talk about this unrestrained hour. Would you try to do it with me? Now, if you want to go back and talk about the rapture, if you got a question that you didn't get in last week about the rapture, remember I told you if you don't go in the rapture, in chapter 4, book of Revelation, you will miss the marriage supper. You will miss living in New Jerusalem. You will miss being part of the bride. And you will never wear a crown on your head. Now, you remember, four things. You'll never wear a crown on your head. You'll never be part of the bridal supper. You'll never be part of the city of New Jerusalem. Absolutely. And so you just don't want to miss the rapture. You just don't want to miss. Now, there'll be people that go in later and are saved. There'll be a multitude of people that get saved after that rapture. Oh, man. You can't read Revelation 7 and not know that the multitude getting saved after the rapture is an incredible multitude. Now, that don't mean everybody gets saved. It don't even mean everybody can get saved. Because when that rapture takes place, there'll be so many people in our world, on our globe, that have rejected truth. They've rejected the things of God. They've rejected so much that God has turned them over to a reprobate mind. And they're not going to believe anything. I don't care what's going on. And there'll be a crowd of them in the great tribulation period. But there'll also be a crowd that gets saved. And I am so grateful that God made arrangement for people to get saved after that rapture. I am so grateful. I know too many good people that are right now almost on the verge of missing that rapture. I mean, they're living in sin, and they're happy with the world, and they're chasing the pleasures, they're chasing money, they're chasing everything. Not bad stuff. I know many of them don't drink whiskey. They don't carouse. They don't run around with other men's wives. They're not fornicators or adulterers. They really live a decent life, but they're not ready to go in the rapture. And see, those are people that I long for, and many of them can get saved after that rapture takes place. Now, you got any question? I want you to call and ask it of me. I'm here to answer questions for anybody that will ask me, okay? There's the phone number. You can call right now, and I will do my best to answer your question, and I will do it with joy, okay? You are important to me. And I want to answer your question, and I want to help you learn, and I want to help you get ready. I don't think that I've ever had more love for people than I've got now in my old age. I just have a great love for you. I have a great love for you. I'm trying to get rid of that address there so you can see me clearly. I have a great love for you. You are wonderful to me. I love my audience all over the globe. I mean, all the way to India, all the way to Australia. It don't matter what you talk about, they can hear me. They can see me. If they got an internet, they can hook up right now and see everything you're seeing. If they got Facebook, they can come right in and see everything you're seeing. If they don't have that, they can hear me on radios anywhere in the globe. I mean, that is wonderful. The Bible said that the word would be preached to the ends of the earth, and then the end would come. And so we're doing it, getting the world ready for the Lord to come, and I want you to go. Now, I want you to go with me. Again, I invite you to call. You got the number, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Now, I do care. I care much. I'm after your life. I'm after your heart. I'm going to preach tomorrow on whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. I'm going to give you some scripture that will prove beyond measure that God wants to save every living person on the face of this earth. There is no such thing as limited atonement. That's the most damnable doctrine I've ever heard of in my life. Now, don't get angry with me. I want people, whoever they are, to come to Christ. I don't want anybody to be lost. And I assure you, God don't want you to be lost. The Bible says he wants all to come to repentance. He don't want anybody to be lost. Believe me, friend, if you're going to hell, you're going to be an intruder. I preached last night, preached such a marvelous sermon. Brother David Boggs, we're going to have seven sermons by this man in a video, in an audio album, or a DVD album, DVD or CD, either one, and you need all seven of them. He preached about revival and all the things that can lead up to an old-fashioned revival, the best I've ever heard in my life. I thought it was just grand, all on CDs and DVDs, and we'll be glad to provide them for you because we want you to be saved. We want you to know Christ, and we want a Holy Ghost revival. Now, let's go to the book of 2 Thessalonians. You got that? 2 Thessalonians. We're going to go to chapter 2, and we're going to take a look. That's something the Bible says about a restrainer. I'm telling you, there will be no restraint after the rapture. But there's restraint now. There'll be no restraint after the rapture, but there's still restraint now. The enemy is on a leash. The devil is on a leash. The devil can go so far. The devil can do so much. The devil can make a lot of mess. But the devil cannot have unlimited power yet. Not right now, but very shortly, as soon as that rapture occurs, the devil will have unlimited power on the face of this earth. He'll be cast out of heaven, down to the earth, and he'll be the god of this world for 7 years. He'll be the god of this world for 7 years. Anybody that wants to have a mid-trib rapture don't know what they're asking for. You really don't. If you did, I think you would try to change your mind. You might not understand the Bible good enough. You may be hard-headed. You may have been so set in doctrines that somebody you love taught and somebody you believed in taught and some background kind of thing. And I understand people can have that and still be good people, still be decent people. I'm not coming against anybody. I'm not hating anybody. I don't hate anybody. But I'm just a man of the truth, and I believe what I believe. And I'm dedicated to it, and I give my life for it. And though I'm 83, I'm still hurling with all my volume and all my capacity the wonderful truths of the Bible. Now, let's go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let's read something. Remember ye now that when that which I told you, I'm sorry, I got clips here that's barring my view. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you. I got it now. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you. And now you know what withholdeth. And now you know what withholdeth. Hear that word, withholdeth. That means there's something holding things back. There's something that's like a dam that's got the water, got the darkness on the other side. There's something like a great power that's holding back certain elements of the wicked world, and that is happening right now. There are holy powers. There are angels. There is the Holy Spirit, the restrainer, and there is the people of Christ, the great bride of Christ. We are a powerful entity all over this earth. We are holy, sanctified, godly people, are a powerful, powerful force against the enemy. So you got angels, you got the Holy Spirit, and you got the people of God. And we are holding the enemy at bay. That's called restraining. That's the Bible meaning of the word withholding. It means we are restraining. We are holding back those powers. And now you know what withholdeth. Now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. And now you know what is being withheld. You know what we are holding. We are holding back the Antichrist from his full control until the end time begins. That's the rapture. That's when the end time begins. So we are holding him at bay until such time as we have been removed and the bride has been removed and the Holy Spirit takes the bride to the glorious place in the heavens where we shall set up camp and where we're going to have a marriage supper, a great event of all heavenly beauty. Oh, what a day that's going to be. Now listen, for the mystery of iniquity doth already work. The mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, you got to get that verse. This is in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity. Now, notice that word mystery of iniquity. That's the Antichrist. That's that iniquity in the Antichrist that cannot be understood but by divine revelation. And reading the Bible, we know this Antichrist is already at work. I'm going to tell you things about him. I'm going to tell you things he's doing. I'm going to tell you what he's accomplished in the church. That's the darkest thing is what the old Antichrist has accomplished in the church. So the mystery of iniquity, the dark powers of the Antichrist is already at work. Only he who letteth, there's a barrier, there's a holding back, there's a level of power that does not allow the enemy to cross over. There's a level of restraint that holds the enemy at bay. Are you getting what I'm saying? This is so important. I want you to get it. I really do. For the mystery of iniquity doth already let. Only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. When the Holy Ghost descends in the heavens with the Christ, and the saints of God are raptured and resurrected all over the globe. What a day that's. You talk about a graveyard mess. That resurrection and rapture will leave graveyards in a mess all over the world. They'll be full of holes. There'll be dirt everywhere. Hallelujah. Trees uprooted. Tombstones uprooted. Vaults laying all over the place. I mean, God is going to resurrect a multitude out of their graves and a multitude of raptured saints. There'll be cars running over in the ditch. There'll be airplanes coming down out of the sky. There'll be all kinds of wrecks while the saints of God are leaving here. If I was going down the highway at 70 miles an hour and that rapture would take place, I'd leave that automobile to drive itself. And what it would do in carnage, I have no idea. I'm telling you, there'll be nobody to mash the gas, so I guess it'll slow up in a little bit and run off the road, run into somebody. I'm telling you, that's going to happen. You say, oh, you're a crazy man. I know. I'm crazy because I believe the Bible. I'm crazy because I believe every word of the book. I'm crazy because I know this Bible is absolutely truth. There's not a word. The Bible said Jesus came in the volume of the book. That means every page of the Bible is part of Jesus. He's the Lord of Genesis. He's the Lord of Exodus. He's the Lord of Leviticus. He's the Lord of Numbers. He's the Lord of Deuteronomy. He's the Lord of Joshua. He's the Lord of the Judges. He's the Lord right on through all those great books. I'm here to tell you it's a joyous thing to study that Bible and understand after Judges is Ruth, and then 1st and 2nd Samuel, 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, and he's the Lord of all of them. He's the Lord of every bit of it. So don't doubt a word in this Bible. It is the word of God. Now, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Now, listen to this. You see a seven-year period right there. Then the Lord shall consume him. That wicked shall be consumed, the Bible said. The wicked shall be consumed. And who's going to do it? The Lord. And when does the Lord do it? At the end of the 7 years. Remember the battle of Armageddon? That's it. That's what he's talking about right there, is the battle of Armageddon. Then shall the Lord consume him with the brightness of his coming. Can you imagine when Jesus descends after the seven-year tribulation and he descends on Megiddo up north of Jerusalem, and the Antichrist is gathered with all his armies of the great nations of the world, and the Lord appears in the sky and all the raptured saints with him. We all ride in white horses. I mean, this is what the Bible teaches. This is what the Bible teaches. Man, if you just can understand all of this and get it in your head. Now, let's don't go too far until I open the lines for some telephone calls. You know I'm hooked in where I can take your calls and everybody will hear you, and I'll hear you and I'll answer you, and all of it will be right on the air. And so grab your phone at 704. Listen now, 704-391-391-0588. Very easy to remember, 391-0588. That's a toll-free number. If you have a landline and you don't have money to pay the phone bill, then you call me on our 800 number, 1-800-33-TRUTH. 33-TRUTH. You can't miss that. 1-800-33-TRUTH. So grab your phone. I want to hear from you. I want to answer the toughest call, inquiry or question that you might come up with. I want to hear you ask a question that maybe many others would like to ask, but they probably are not willing. Many people won't get on the radio, especially being heard all over the globe, every part of this continent, all into the nations of Eastern Europe and all over Africa and all over Russian area. I mean, it's exciting. To me, I love it. I love dealing with all of you. So grab your phone. Call quickly. 1-800-338-7884. The number you can call on your cell phone, 704-391-0588. You'll need to dial a 1-1-704-391-0588. If you live in this code, 704, you don't need to dial the 1, just 704-391-0588. I'm saying it a lot because I want you to get it, because I want to see that phone sparkle. I want to see that phone sparkle. I want to answer your questions. I got an article that I give you on this subject, very important, and it's called The Unrestricted, The Unrestrained Wickedness. The Unrestrained Wickedness. And you need it. You need to preach it, preacher. You need to get your congregation understanding the book of Revelation and Second Chronicles. It's very important. So grab your phone. I'm already getting calls here. Now, I want to help you. I want to answer your call. You are important to me. Let me take a call here, and you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir, Pastor. I've got a question about the battle of Gog and Magog. And can you pinpoint for us exactly when that battle is going to take place?
You know, I cannot put a pin on it because it could be right before the rapture. It could be right after the rapture, but it will be connected on one side or the other in the very short span of time there. The Battle of Armageddon will fit in. I kindly expect it any moment, but then others think it's right after the rapture. I just know it's part of the end time. That's really all I know.
Okay.
The Bible does not pinpoint it. The Bible doesn't say it will happen at this time. The Bible just says it's going to happen. I got a grandson in Germany, and I fear for him because Germany is going to be part of those nations that God's going to send a firestorm on.
That's right. Yes, sir.
And I tremble for him. I've tried to warn him, get out of there. But his wife is from there, and she doesn't understand this. And so I'm just praying. But I'm telling you, that is a battle that's going to be awesome. And it could be connected, kindly, with the rapture. You know, all of these things are so closely pinpointed together, that you just have to wait on some things, and they will happen in God's order.
Okay, I was looking in Revelation chapter 20.
Yes.
And it talks about when the 1,000 years are expired, verse number 7.
Yes.
That Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea.
You see, I do not believe that is identifying geography. I think it's identifying the spirit of that. Gog and Magog, the very sound of that is ominous. It's wicked. It's evil. It's a ungodly crowd. It's a wicked crowd. And that's talking about people on the whole earth who reject Christ even after they've seen him reign for 1,000 years. Isn't that terrible to think of?
And he'll be able to deceive them. That's amazing.
Yes. The devil. See, the people who are born during the 1,000 years have not been tried. There's been no devil around. There's been no demons going about deceiving people. And so they have to have the opportunity to make a choice. And this is the opportunity of the people born during the 1,000 years to make a choice between Christ and between the God of Adam and Eve.
All right. I appreciate that answer, Pastor.
I thank you for the question. Very good question. Very good question. Now, there are other questions that you might want to ask, and so you grab your phone, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. I want to hear from you. I want you in on this, and I don't want anybody to have a question that they don't get an answer for. I really want you to have an answer for your question. I want to teach you about this unrestrained hour of wickedness when there's no restraint. I mean, just absolutely nothing to restrain. They can rape and commit carnage. They can roam the streets and kill and maim and butcher and rape, and nothing to stop anybody. It'll be a world so full of wickedness until it's indescribable, and the Antichrist will promote it all. It's his pleasure. It's what he wants. Got you? Are you listening? Now let's go back to this text. This text is marvelous. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the sword of his mouth, or the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan. See, the Antichrist is coming after the working of Satan. I call him the son of the devil. I call the Antichrist the son of Satan. I believe that's the best title you could give him, the son of Satan. Wicked. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power. Listen now. With all power and signs and lying wonders. Now, you got to hear this. As well as this unrestrained wickedness, there is a religious atmosphere in the Antichrist world. And that religious atmosphere is one of the most dangerous parts of the whole tribulation period. Because the multitudes on the earth, many who've never heard the story of Jesus, who know little about the Bible, who know little about the great things of God. Think of the whole Muslim world. Think of the whole heathen world in many parts of heathen nations who know nothing of the Bible. They don't know one verse. Not one verse. And here comes the devil. And he's an imitation of the Christ. And he has an imitation of the Holy Spirit helping him. Has an imitation of God the Father on his team. And he goes out and he does these wonders. He does these miraculous things. He does all kinds of paranormal things. And the world goes crazy over him. The world worships him. And that's why in the middle of the tribulation, when they produce his mark, 666. I don't know that it'll be a 666, but a mark on the hand, on the back of the hand or the forehead. When he produces that, the world will be so in love with him and so confident of him and so caught in his religious fervor. Notice it is a religious fervor. It is a religious fervor. The greatest power on the universe to destroy is false religions. The greatest power to do people damage is false theologies. False thinking, false doctrines, and the world is full of them. The church world is full of them. The Pentecostal church world is full of them. I'm amazed at the stuff being taught today. That's why I'm so dogmatic. I know. I'm dogmatic. Everybody thinks that. I don't know anybody don't think that. I'm dogmatic, but I'm only dogmatic for the Bible. I'm only dogmatic for the truth. I'm only dogmatic for things that I know, I believe with all my heart, and I see evident that they're revealed in the Scripture. That's the only things I'm dogmatic about. It's because those things need to be taught. I don't teach, well, this could be right, and this could be right, and that could be right. I'm going to tell you what I think's right. And that's all I'm going to tell you. It's what I think's right. And I'm going to do it with all the fervor of my heart. You know that. You know me that good. You're on the air. How may I help you, please?
Reverend Chambers, I wanted to know, do you think that the Antichrist will be an artificial intelligence robot or something like that?
Say that again. I missed one or two words there.
I said, do you think that the Antichrist could possibly be an artificial intelligence, like from computer-made man or robotic?
Well, no, he won't be a robotic. They'll make an image of him that'll be like a robotic, but he'll be a real person also. And that real person is the power of deception. That robotic that people will be made to worship is only making a symbol of him so that they can set it up on the internet and all the world can see it on Facebook, everything else, Twitter, everywhere it'll be displayed, and people will be required to worship it. And I believe, as I've read and heard, that there is capabilities in most of our things today for people to actually see what we're doing, see what we're acting, how we're saying yes and no. You know, I don't know how they're going to do it, but I'm here to tell you, yes, there will be an Antichrist, and will they make a robotic of him? Well, they'll make an image of him that'll come alive. It may be more real than a robotic. You know, the devil can do paranormal things.
Oh, they can make the artificial intelligence.
Well, that's what he's doing right now with people all over the world. I'm amazed at how people fall for false doctrines. I'm amazed how the Pentecostal church world is now painting their walls black and living and cutting on the lights and doing music that's nothing but rock and roll. They're just absolutely, and those are the churches that are growing the biggest and the fastest. I mean, old-time Bible preaching today is just not liked by most people because they want things that are comfortable for the old flesh. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to do what the Bible tells them to do. That's amazing to me. God bless you.
All right.
Thank you for calling me. I'd be glad to have your calls now. Any question you got, I'll do my best to help you because I want you to get ready. I want you to so get prepared that the devil in no way can convince you and transform you and turn you into one of his robots. The good word for people who become robotic to the devil. And I'm only talking about surrender their life. I'm going to tell you something, friend. If you don't know this Bible, if you're not full of the Spirit of God, if you're not full of the Holy Spirit to teach you, you know there are 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I'm trying to get people to start memorizing them and meditating on them day and night. Wake up at night, start meditating on the 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. Whatever. What are they? The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, of faith, and then gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, then discernment of spirits and tongues and interpretation of tongues. And we're meditating. I'm trying to get everybody that will meditate on those 9 gifts. They're supernatural. Those gifts will turn you into a messenger for Christ with anointing, with an unction, with a convincing touch that you can win souls to Christ. We're trying to get people winning the lost. Well, how long has it been since you won somebody to Christ? Aren't you ashamed that you go to church and you can't find nobody in the whole congregation that you personally led to Christ? And you personally got them to come to church? And you personally are teaching them the way of discipleship and serving the Lord? You ought to be ashamed if you've never done that. So go to work on it because the door is about to close. The door is about to close. Thank God there's a little crack in that door for the tribulation period. A little crack. Oh, but it won't be like it is now. It won't be nothing to compare with the opportunity right now to get saved and to turn your life to God. And I beg of you, wow, I beg of you, open lines, call us, 1-800-338-7884, the local number 704. Got it? 704-391-0588. 0588. Grab your phone. I want to answer calls. I love helping you. I love helping somebody with a question. I love bringing the truth to you and just literally opening your eyes, and suddenly the Bible comes alive. Had somebody on Facebook the other day. They asked me a question, and I answered it. And then they wrote back and said, wow, that was easy to understand. That was easy to understand when I gave them the right scripture, when I gave them the right understanding. I knew that with the rapture. I promise you, I can have a service. I'd like to do this maybe very soon. Have a special service on a Sunday night and invite every non-rapture believer, non-pre-trib believer in this whole area to come to church that night and promise them that I will prove to them that the pre-trib rapture is biblical. I can do it. I have done it. I've done it on numerous occasions. I've never had anybody to leave one of those meetings and say, well, I still don't believe it. I never have. I just believe the Bible is that plain. You think I'm smart? No, I'm not smart. I'm just a Bible-believing man. That's all I am. The only thing about me that could be called smart is that I believe the Bible, and I believe the Word of God, and I believe every word of it. And you can't convince me that one word is out of order. God has done it so perfectly. Well, man, am I preaching. Even him who's coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. And listen. And with all deceivableness, notice that word, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, he will deceive you into unrighteousness. He will deceive you to be anything he wants you to be, or anything you could ever want to be. He will deceive you to the core of your being. Are you hearing me? He'll make a mess out of you if you don't have protection. And after the rapture, the restrainer is gone. The saints are gone. You can't call Brother Chambers and ask the question, I'm going to be gone. Woo, I'm going to be gone. I can't wait to go either, I promise you. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. See, people who are unsaved will be deceivable so easy. People who are unsaved, who don't know Christ, who don't know the Bible, who've never studied the scripture, who've never sat down with a good book and studied the book of Revelation. I mean, they will be easily deceived. So he speaks of them as deceivable. Deceivable. Notice that unrighteousness and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, in them that perish. Oh, friend, you got to hear what I'm saying. It's getting late. And for this cause, now, I don't want to stop there. If I don't get to no other scripture today, we'll go right on next Saturday, okay? Listen to this now. After I'm going to read that verse again. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, for this cause, now listen, for this cause God shall give them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Here is a multitude of people stubborn and bullheaded and unbelieving, laugh at a preacher like me, make fun of me, talk garbage about me, talk garbage about God's churches, God's good people, God's saintly people, even the Bible. And the Bible says, then God, listen now, and God, for this cause, God shall give them a strong delusion, or send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie. It will be so easy to believe a lie during those 7 years until it is plain scary. You think it's easy to believe a lie now? You see it everywhere, all kinds of lies, all kinds of false doctrines, all kinds of false churches, black walls and black ceilings and sparkling lights and fireworks and everything else, calling it God. I mean, look at the doctrines, like the doctrine of limited atonement. That's a doctrine from hell. Don't you believe no lie like that. I wouldn't have a child and bring a kid in this world for nothing if I thought some of them might be absolutely condemned to hell and don't even have a chance. My children, my grandchildren, my great-grands have a chance. And I believe that with all my heart. They aren't ready yet, but oh, am I praying for them? Am I on my face for them? I promise you. But it will be so easy because people will be deceivable. In a new light sense. See, right now, you've got the Holy Spirit that's everywhere in our world. He is omnipresent. There's nowhere he is not. So even the wicked have a certain kind of restraint that still holds on to them somewhat. Not fully, but somewhat. I don't know the extent of that. Everybody's different. Everybody has a different attitude toward God and a different attitude toward the things of God. But I'm telling you, friend, I'm telling you, we're talking about a dark time. And I know the phone's been ringing, and you can get this booklet. You can get on our mailing list. You can come visit us tomorrow and hear me preach. Unquestionable, whosoever will, let him come. There are hundreds in Charlotte listening to me right now who are not saved. Probably several thousand listening to me. Gastonia, Rock Hill, all over this area. There's probably nowhere within 30 miles here that you can't hear me right now. And many are listening, and you're not saved. Don't you put this off another day. I beg of you, come hear me preach in the morning. Come let me tell you, whosoever will, let him come. I want you in the house of God tomorrow. Oh, I want you in the house of God. I'm weeping for you. I'm weeping for you. I wish you'd come some of these mornings of 5:30, 6 o'clock, when we're in here praying and weeping and crying out for your soul. We don't want you to go to hell. We want you to be saved, friend. We want you right with God. We don't want you in some old false doctrine in some church that says that you're only limited. Some of you will be saved and some of you are going to be lost. And you know what? Most of those people don't even know whether they're saved or lost. They just know that they believe that God's limited. And he'll decide who he wants and who he don't want. He'll ship you off to hell. Friend, that's terrible stuff. Don't you believe it? Don't you believe it? I beg you, don't believe it. Don't get mad at me because I'm preaching against it. I have a right to preach it against it as well as you got a right to preach it, you know? That's just the way it is. I love you. Oh, I got to go on here. For this cause God shall give them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth. Did you know you'll never be damned because of hearing the Bible? I believe in parts of the Bible. You'll be damned because you love not the truth. See, it's not the hearing of the truth that saves you. It's the love of the truth that saves you. Did you hear that? I have a sermon I preached on those that love the truth. The love of the truth that saves was the name of it. The love of the truth that saves. And for this cause, God shall show them strong delusion that they should believe a lie and be damned, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Wow. Now that's in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 12, okay? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 5 through 12. Now, I didn't mean to spend about 15 minutes with that scripture. But your calls and your interest got me kindly deeply involved. And I'm trying to help somebody out there to really get their heart right with God. Now, who is the restrainer? Let's talk about the restrainer a minute. It's very important. This great power that holds the world in certain elements of truth that does not allow full and total deception, that does not allow Satan to take over. This restraining power that keeps things in somewhat of an order. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's the restrainer. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost of God is the member of the Trinity that is omnipresent. Notice this now. The Father is omniscient. The Son is omniscient and omnipresent. I can say them all of a sudden. Omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. The Father is omnipotent. The Son is omniscient. He knows everything. He's the Word. And the Holy Spirit is omnipresent. He's everywhere. The Father's on his throne. The Son is on his right hand. And the Holy Spirit makes all of that available to the whole world. And he's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And so that holds things at bay. The Holy Spirit and the angels that move in the wake of the Holy Spirit and the saints of God who are filled with the Holy Spirit, all together we restrain darkness. We restrain wickedness. We restrain. If we didn't, my friend, I'm here to tell you, there'd be no chance of any decent things happening anymore. But there's still some decent things happening. Thank God for that. I heard the president issued an executive order in which he's removing all funds from any college or university, national funds that is, taxpayers' dollars, if they don't allow free access to Christians. and the voice of Christians. If they hush the truth of the Bible, then they have no longer to get money. Thank you, President Trump. That is breathtaking. Now, I don't know the details of it. I'm just telling you what I've heard. I hope what I said is right. If it's not quite right, then you understand. I'm speaking from you know, something one of my good people told me. Wouldn't have told me anything untrue. I know that. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. We need to be grateful. But understand the restrainer. Now, I want to say this again. The restrainer begins with the person of the Holy Spirit. He is a person. He is a member of the Trinity, the Godhead. He is a true person. He has a mind. He has a thought. He has emotions. He loves. He hates evil. I mean, everything that you can feel, everything the Father can feel, everything that Jesus can feel, the Holy Spirit can feel. And they each can feel them separately and together. And they think exactly alike. Are you hearing me? And the Holy Spirit is the omnipresent member of the triune Godhead. And he has a wake around him where the angels move in his great power, in his marvelous supernatural authority. And then he has us, who are the saints of God, just like me, sitting here today, telling you the truth with all my heart. And I'm doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit. I have no question. The Holy Spirit's right here in this room, and his power is going out through the airwaves and through the internet and through Facebook, and we're just teaching people truth. We're trying to restrain this enemy. We're trying to hold him at bay. I'm trying to keep him from taking your mind. I'm trying to keep him from deluding you and leading you into false stuff. I'm trying to keep you from being deceived and live on in wickedness and sin and be unprepared for the rapture. I'm trying to do that with the help of the Holy Spirit and with the presence of the angels, because we care about you. Do you understand? That's the kingdom work. That's the Bible work. That's what the church has always represented. I'm not unique. Any good church does the same thing. We're just out here to teach you the truth and to restrain the wicked one and to help make sure that you don't get totally deceived and totally lost. We don't want you lost. We want you saved. Are you hearing me? Now, opening the lines again for phone calls. Oh, I got so much here. Great day in the morning. I got so much. I'm going to go to Revelation 6 and 9. I'm going to go to Revelation 6 and 9, but I want you to call. I want your questions. I want to see people saved. Why don't you come to Christ right now while I'm on the air? Will you? Will you bow your head somewhere and let's turn to Christ? Let's give him our life. Let's be born again. He's ready. He's not wanting you to wait till tomorrow. He may come tonight. I'm looking for the rapture any moment. I really am. And then that 7 years begins after the rapture. And then in 7 years, Jesus comes back on a white horse, and the devil really then gets his last whipping. I'm here to, well, he gets another whipping after the 1,000 years. But the Antichrist and the false prophet get their last whipping, and they get cast into the hell. I mean cast into hell. Are you hearing me? That's the Antichrist and the false prophet. That's at the end of the 7-year tribulation period when Jesus sets up a 1,000-year kingdom on the face of this earth. Can you imagine anything so wonderful as Jesus ruling the earth 1,000 years and his great kingdom come into this world? Righteousness will reign. And the Bible says like the waters of the sea. The animals will play with each other. Even the most vicious of animals will be tamed and tender. Hallelujah. What a day. During the 1,000 years, I want the biggest lion there is on my front porch. I want him there to go out every morning and sit beside him and rub his fur and feed him. What do you feed lions? I don't know. I got caught there. Listen, friend, I'm telling you, the day is coming. Let's go to Revelation chapter 6 and verse 9. Now, this has been somewhat of a program. Last week, I felt so much of the Holy Ghost, and I feel it again today. I really do. I sense an anointing that's as genuine as it can be. And God is reaching to somebody, a lot of somebodies. God is reaching. God is reaching for you. God is reaching for you. God wants you right with him. God wants you saved. He don't want you to go to hell. Are you listening to me? God doesn't want you to go to hell. Now, you got to hear this. We're going again to Revelation, or going back to Revelation 6 and 9. And we're going to talk about this period after the rapture when the restrainer is gone, when all hell is turned loose. Now, there's two things that happens during the 7-year tribulation period. Two things. You got to hear these now. Stop everything you're thinking. Stop right now and think with me. I want you to hear this. Not only will we have the devil unrestrained taking over this earth, we'll have God the Father judging wickedness on every level. We'll have God judging wickedness on every level. And it will be a time of horror. And the people who get right with God, the devil will go after them to destroy them. Now, you got to hear this. When you are left after the rapture and you don't go, the devil will set his sights on you. You may get right with God. You may already have been, you know, a church person, but now you fall on your knees and you get the fire of God in your heart and you get Jesus on your mind and you become a real Christian. Not just a put on, not just a claim, not just a think so, not just a pew warmer, but a real Christian. Let me tell you what begins to happen. Notice this, verse 9. When he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain, S-L-A-I-N, slain for the testimony which they held. Now, the rapture's taking place. That took place in chapter 4. Chapter 5 was a celebration. Now, chapter 6 has come, and the four horses have gone forth in God's great judgment. And the devil has started his rampage of destruction. If you are a believer, he is after your hide. He wants you destroyed. And here it is. Listen. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain, slaughtered, murdered for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Now, you'll never find Christians doing that anywhere in the Bible to this point. You'll find Christians suffering. You'll find them peacemakers. You'll find them a picture of righteousness. They will love their enemies, and they will treat the most wicked of people with a passion for their soul. But now the tide has turned, and now the devil is on the loose, and he's killing believers. I mean, he hates every Christian. You get on your knees and get saved after that rapture, you immediately become an object of his destruction. He wants you destroyed. You might win somebody else. You might tell somebody else. And the Bible says, immediately under the altar are the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, doth thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the face of the earth? I mean, they have been slaughtered so viciously. They have been hurt so deeply and profoundly. The wrecking of their body has been without mercy. They have been wrecked. Little girls have been raped and raped and raped until they are nothing but a psychological disaster. Their minds are blown with the pain, with the raping, with the slaughtering, with the darkness that's been ushered upon them. Mamas will see little children as they are just taken like little animals and raped and ravaged and used for the very satisfaction of dark, demon-possessed men and women. It will be terrible. And they will begin to cry out, Lord, we've never heard of such raging, such horror, such terror. And they are literally terrified. And so they cry out to God, God, judge this crowd. Look what they're doing to us. Look what they're doing to our children. Look what they're doing to mommies and daddies and grandfathers and grandmothers. Look what they're doing. Look what they're doing. That's what they're saying. I mean, these are people who are dead. They've been slaughtered. They're under the altar of God. They're now in protection, but they can't forget what's just happened to them. They can't forget the sorrow. And white robes was given unto them, every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while. Now notice this, rest yet for a little while until their fellow servants and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be killed. So this is in the midst of it. It's happening. I mean, it's just raging. It's hellish. It's dark as hell can be. And the world is in such a mess. And God gives us a little picture of those who have already been slaughtered. And they're under the altar. And they're crying out for mercy. God, avenge this. Avenge this. This crowd is terrible. This crowd is so wicked. They need to be avenged right now. And God says, just hold it. Just rest. I'll give you white garments. Just rest where you are and wait. Because others of your brethren, of your friends, they are in the process of being slaughtered, even as you were. Are you hearing? Are you seeing the picture? That's plain. That's plain. I mean, this is a dark time. This is a hellish time. The world has never seen nothing like this. The world don't even want to hear it. Most preachers won't dare preach it. I mean, it sounds terrible. White robes was given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest it for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren, the friends, their loved ones, should be killed even as they were, should be fulfilled. Now, friend, that is something that you need to understand will happen as sure as I sit here and point my finger at you. Now, you're sitting over there in your rocking chair. You're saying, I don't believe it, preacher. I'm telling you, God's talking to you. You better believe it. You're riding your car, and you're fussing. You even started to turn the radio off, and you said, man, I got to hear what that crazy man is saying. So you left it on. And now God's telling you, you better do something about your life. You better get yourself cleaned up. You better quit that messing you're doing. You better quit that adultery you're committing, that fornication you're involved in. You better get all that stuff out of your life, and you better get right with Christ, because your time is just as close. You just don't know how close your time is. That's what God's trying to say to you, and I hope you'll hear him. I hope you'll hear him. Now, that's exactly what the Bible says. Now, let me go a little further. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll, and even the heavens departed as a scroll, and when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. The earth is in consternation. Mountains are moving. The earth is in a mess. And the heavens roll back like a scroll. Now, which heaven is that? Number two. Heaven number two. That's the space between the first heaven and the third heaven. We live in the first heaven. God lives in the third heaven. The second heaven is fixing to depart and be gone. Rolled away. Vanished. Done with. Can you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, there's a huge place up there in the heavenly heavens, and that's where the great raptured crowd is going to gather outside of the city of heavenly Jerusalem in a special place prepared. And the Bible said it would be like a sea of a lake of how's it say that? Wow. So many things I can't keep them all in my little brain. It's getting older, but it's still pretty good. I'm keeping it going. I promise you, a sea of glass. I got it now. A sea of glass. That's where all the raptured crowd will be. Oh, what a day, folks. Well, let me go on here. Very important for you to get all of this. And the heavens departed as a scroll, and the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every handsman, and every freeman hid their selves in cave dens and in the rocks of the mountain. And people start hiding from what's up there. See, the second heaven is gone. And so the first heaven is people on the earth. The second heaven is the saints of God up there in that big raptured company on that sea of glass. And you can see across that divide now. You can't see now. It's multiplied millions of light years. But when God gets through with it, it'll be next door. I'm here to tell you, everybody down here during the seven-year tribulation will see all of us up there. And all of us up there will have a little picture. I don't know how much we can stand and how much you'll let us see, but we'll be all conscious of what's going on down here. We are talking about one more incredible time. Now, I'm not going to go any further with all my notes. I didn't even get through the first page, and I got three pages. So you can tell what's going on. I love you. I'm telling you, wickedness will be unrestrained. It is overwhelming what this world is going to feel and what this world is going to see. And it's just biblical. All you got to do is go pick up your Bible, go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. No, 2 Thessalonians. I keep saying 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and read it. Start with verse 5, go to 7, I mean 12. I mean, read it for yourself. I mean, read it carefully. And just take the Bible literal, just like it talks. Don't change it around. Oh, this means this, this means. No, it means what it says. That's the problem with many Bible students. They make the Bible mean something that sounds better to them. They make the Bible mean something that's not so overwhelming to them. Oh, I'm telling you, we're living in the last hour. I know I haven't had a lot of calls, but I've been so busy, and you're listening, and I believe you're listening, and I believe there are thousands listening, and I'm looking for people to get saved today, even today. Let's do it right now. Why don't you give him your life? Why don't you say, Lord, I've been a fool. I've been crazy. I've been living like a wicked man. I've been living careless. I've been doing things that I had no business doing. I knew better. I heard better. My mama told me better. My grandma told me better. But I'm going to repent right now. I'm going to give my life to Christ. You give your life to Christ right now, and he'll hear you, and he'll save you while I'm talking. He'll save you. All you got to do is say, I'm yours. We're burying a lady on Monday who got saved about 4 weeks ago. She'd been backslid for years. Her husband is one of my finest elders. He's a rock in this church. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. And she got saved about 4 weeks ago. She's at the altar. I'm standing there directing the altar. And all of a sudden, Becky says to me, I want to be saved. And she looked at me with perfect eyes, even though she's been extremely sick. I called her husband. Two or three saints come around. In a moment, she's weeping, and she's receiving Christ. And she says, I'm saved. I'm saved. And now she's gone. And thank God, like the thief on the cross, she got saved right in time. And Marlon, her husband, deserved. He was praying hard. We were praying hard. The church was loving her. He said to me this morning, I'm so proud of our church, how it welcomed my wife and brought her in and treated her like they treated her. And because of that, because of their love, now she's in heaven. Oh, thank you, Brother Marlon. Thank you, saints of God. Hey, the Lord's coming. Are you ready? Please get ready. Give him your life. I pray for you right now. I claim you in the name of Jesus by the blood of the cross, by the power of his sacrifice. I claim you for the Savior. I claim you for his kingdom. He cares about you. I'm telling you, he cares about you. And I want you to serve God with all your heart. I do. I want you to serve God with all your heart. Now, we're going to go back to that beautiful song that we were singing, the old gospel ship. The old gospel ship's about to sail. The old gospel ship's about to sail. I'm going to be on it. I promise you, I'm going to be on it. And I want you on it. Would you get on it right now?
Good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Oh, yes, I'm going to take a trip in that good old gospel ship. And I'm going far beyond the sky. And I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh yes, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. And I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh yes, I'm going to take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. And I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. And if you're ashamed of me, you have no cause to be, for with Christ I am an heir. And if too much fault you find, you will sure be left behind while I go sailing through the air. Oh yes, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, yes, I'm going to shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. Oh, I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. And when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Come on and sing it. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, yes, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world goodbye. And I have good news to bring, and that is why I sing. All my joy with you I'll share, 'cause I plan to take a trip in that good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Come on and sing it. Oh, I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship, and I'm going far beyond the sky. Oh, yes, I'm gonna shout and sing until the heavens ring while I'm bidding this world. We gotta sing that second verse again. Oh, and I can scarcely wait. I know I'll not be late, for I'll spend my time in prayer. Oh, and when my ship comes in, I'll leave this world of sin and go sailing through the air. Oh, and I'm gonna take a trip in that good old gospel ship.